You got me, Tom. That was beautiful. I lost count on how many songs Miriam played. I know three of them were about the cross, and one of them was Because He Lives. So that's great. It's always an honor and a privilege to bring God's Word, and thank you for that. Tonight we are going to be in Luke chapter 7. And it's a story only recorded in Luke. A very special story about Jesus' love and Jesus' compassion. I'm going to read from Luke 7, start with verse 11. Now it happened the day after that he went into the city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this wonderful story. I pray, Lord, that you help us to understand the words and that Luke wrote. Inspire us, Father, with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. This is a story where we are confronted by the healing and compassionate Lord. He had just healed the centurion's servant the day before in the city of Capernaum. In this account, Luke reminds us and tells us that Jesus is resurrecting this young man back to life. It is one of three resurrections that we find in the Bible. We find the first one in Mark 5 when Jairus' daughter lays dead and Jesus goes in and says, "Little girl, I say, arise." And then we find this story in Luke 7. And then we find the last one in John chapter 11 where Jesus tells Lazarus to come forth. So we have at least three resurrections. There's probably so many more. John reminds us that all the words, all the books could not contain the things that Jesus did in his gospel. Well, we see Nain is a place not mentioned much in the Bible. It's southeast of Nazareth. It goes not far from Mount Tabor. Jesus would have had to cross the mountain region of Mount Tabor to get to Nain. It was over really a day's journey. But you know, two more things happen in this region that are worth pointing out. One of them is there was a resurrection that God did through Elijah. And we find this in 1 Kings chapter 17. He raises the widow's son. And then we find in the region of Shunem, the Shunammite woman's son was raised by Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 4. So we see resurrections has been happening in this region, and it's just something to take account of. It reminds us this story that Jesus can bring hope out of the worst tragedies in our life. Well, we see there are two paths mentioned here, two crowds. One is following the widow, and one is following Christ. We are following one of those two paths. We are the one that is going with the widow is following her, is following death and going to the cemetery. The one that is following Jesus is going to the city and going with God. But spiritually speaking, we are all in one of those paths. Think about it for just a minute. We are either saved or we're not saved. We're either following the Lord or we're not following the Lord. Jesus puts it this way in John 3:36. He says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. If we have trusted Christ, we are going to that city of God that God has prepared for us. I like what the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11. It says, by faith, Abraham dwelt in a land of promise, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him in that same promise. And he waited for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Looking for a city, we get that song, if you've sung that song before. It's one of my favorites. Are we looking for that city of God? Are we following the path that God has for us, the path of Christ? Well, let's look at the path of the widow for just a moment. The path was a path of hurt and pain. It was down the narrow streets of Nain. The ruins are still there today. Although many would be there, the Bible tells us a great crowd was with the widow. She has lost her closest companions, her husband and her son. It's a lonely road that she travels. No one but God can really help her. She has been on this road before when her husband died. But at that time, she had a son maybe to put an arm around her and help her. But now she has no one to comfort her. She's following the son. It's a sad road, not much hope. For women in that day, especially a widow, if without a relative coming there to help her, it would be hard for her to make a living in that time. She will go home and have dinner alone and have conversation with no one. That's the path. That's her sadness. But we see another path, and that path is the path Jesus takes, where we see a large crowd, the Bible says, is following Jesus and his disciples. This path that led people to those who were hurting, those who were lost, to bring comfort and cheer, laughter and fun. Jesus was the life of the party. He was invited to the wedding at Cana. People liked to be around Jesus. He was fun. He was the person you wanted to talk to. And so many followed him for many various reasons, just to be around him. Certainly, it would be a walk to remember for the disciples. You know, there's no accidents with God. This path, I believe, was a path that Jesus took because he heard the cries of the widow. I believe he heard her, and I believe he hears our cries as well. But he went a long way, it seems like, out of his way just to get to the city of Nain to see this lady. The Bible says in Psalm 34:4 that David says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. I believe Jesus hears our cries today. I'm reminded of Moses at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. The Lord said He told Moses, he says, I've heard the cries of my children. Moses, go get them. And then David reminds us in Psalm 34, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. In verse 18 of Psalm 34, it says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. If only the widow knew that Jesus was just around the corner. If only she knew that Jesus was coming for her. Jesus is on his way, maybe for some of us tonight, maybe just around the corner. We never know. But he's there to help. He's there to help us. We read in the Gospels that he walked on water just to get to the disciples when they were in a storm. He hears us and he's there and he's just as close as the mention of his name. Paul reminds us in Acts 17, though he be not far from us, for in him we live and move and have our very being. He knows and he hears. 1 John 5:14 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That word confidence is like faith. Do we have faith and confidence that God hears us when we pray? He does. And John wants us to remind us that. I believe that people were praying for this widow while she was going on that path of sadness. And I believe those prayers wound up at the feet of Jesus. Yes, the Lord hears our prayers. Well, the two paths meet. Man, it was a climax. It was an explosion in this story. Good overcomes evil. Life overcomes death. And victory overcomes defeat. When you consider the pain and grief that it causes death causes in this world, it is indeed an enemy, and only Jesus Christ can give us that victory that we need. My Bible tells me that death, Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus broke up every funeral that he ever went to. You just couldn't have death while he was around. And you know, he tells us the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But he told his disciples, I have come to give life, that they may have it more abundantly. I believe that he literally came to that widow and in a way was telling her that. Lady, I have come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. And you know what? He's telling every one of us that too. He can say, Scott, I have come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. He can say that to Richard, to Steve, to Tom. We can just put our names in there and it means so much more. I have come to give you life and to give it more abundantly. Well, that's something to take to heart as we read this. And that's exactly what Jesus came to do for that widow. Well, let's look a little bit more and we see in verse 13. It says, when the Lord saw her. This is the first time that Luke is using the word Lord in referring to Jesus. All the other times he is saying that Jesus did this. The other Gospels used Jesus to describe the Lord, but Luke wants to make it clear and make it known to us that this is just not Jesus, a prophet. This is just not Jesus of Nazareth. This is the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. This is God's Son, and He knows it, and He's reminding us that this miracle just shows how God works and His compassion. The Lord saw her. You know, God sees and God hears. I'm reminded that God sees and He saw the very substance that we were before we were even born in Psalm 139, 16. Do you believe that God sees you? He sees you like nobody else sees you, doesn't He? Samuel said when he was anointing David in 1 Samuel 16, 7, he says, for the Lord seeth, not as a man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. The Lord saw the heart of the widow that day, I believe, and I believe it broke his heart. I'm not sure words could describe the heart of Jesus that day. But it says that the Lord saw her and He had compassion for her. Now the disciples had to retell this story and they made sure that that was put in, that the Lord had compassion. We see that same kind of compassion when Jesus is outside the tomb of Lazarus. It says He groans in His spirit. I don't know what the disciples saw. Maybe they saw Jesus weeping. Maybe they saw Him groaning in the spirit. I don't know, but this troubled the Lord. Death troubled the Lord. Hurting people troubled the Lord. People in trouble troubles the Lord. And He wants to know, us to know, that He has come to give us life and help. Could it be that the Lord is moved by our hearts and what we do? Many of us have felt helpless at times of tragedy and death, but the Lord was moved. Some years ago, about 11 years ago, after my Laura passed away, sometime after that, I was just driving down the road in Rockmart. I felt bad that day. I just was asking God, just help me get through. I said, just help me get through the day. I was just discouraged, and I pulled over to the side of the road, and I just had a moment of prayer, and I felt God speaking to me. And He said, you know what? She was my child too, and I love her. And she's in my hands now. Boy, I want to tell you, that made my day. I still remember that. The Lord spoke to me, just spoke to me in my heart, just those simple words. She's my child too. See, we just don't belong to each other. Those of us who love the Lord, we belong to the Lord too. And you know, God cares for us more than we care for ourselves and more than we can care for others. I had a friend while I was parked on the side of the road. He passed me by and called me on the cell phone. He says, Scott, are you okay? And I said, yeah, I'm all right. I'm just having a little prayer meeting here. The Lord is always willing and wanting to speak to us. The miracle in this story is not just the resurrection. The miracle in this story is the compassion of the Lord, that He is moved by our prayers. He's moved by our tears. He's moved when we do those things that He asks us to do. He's moved when we worship Him. He's moved when we sing, and He is glorified. He is moved. And I notice that in the Corinthians passage, he tells us to thank God for the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know why we can be immovable? Because the Spirit of the Lord is moving. God came from heaven, moved to earth just to get to us. And then went to cross and to Hades and back, and just resurrected to come back just to see us. Look at what He's done, where He's moved, just to let us know that He loves us and cares for us. He went over the mountains a long way walking just to get to this widow, just to tell her that He loved her and to give her back her son. What a Lord that we have. He told Nicodemus that God gave His only begotten son. We see in this story that this widow, this was her only son. That's something that Jesus and the boy had in common. Notice, we've seen this. Notice the word of the Lord. He comes up, they meet at the gate, and He comes to the stretcher, and He sees the mother, and He sees the widow, and He speaks to her, and He says, do not weep. He, you know, in my words, He probably says, don't cry. It's going to be all right. It's like as the widow is a child, and He's trying to comfort her. He's the God of all comfort. He's got the words, literally, of life. He told Peter and the disciples in John 6:63, the words that I speak, they are spirit. And they are alive. And then later on, He's telling Peter, He says, now I'm going to go away. And Peter says, well, where are we going to go? What's going to happen? You have the words of life. Notice the touch of the Lord. He touched the stretcher. You know, as we go through this story, God is showing that He has the five love languages that Gary Chapman writes about in his book. But the Lord wrote the book a long time ago about love languages. This is Bible here. But think about those words that Gary Chapman wrote about. Words of affirmation, we see that. Quality time, Jesus is spending quality time with this widow. Physical touch, He's touching. Acts of service, He's doing a service. Receiving gifts, He's giving a gift. The gift of life. Notice that the funeral procession stopped when the Lord touched. God wants us to be still and see His work. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. You know, at the beginning of that psalm, that is a psalm to recognize that God helps us. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of struggle. Therefore, we will not fear. That's the first verse of that. And then going through that Psalm 46, the Bible tells us that God helps us in this area and helps us in that area. But then toward the last, he says, be still and know that I am God. And that's literally kind of, I believe, what he's telling the widow here, and he's telling us, be still. Look and see what God has done for you already. Look and see, think about what the Lord's going to do for you in the future. Be still and know that I am God. It reminds me of when Moses was at the Red Sea and the children of Israel were fixing the cross. Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. No one in this story asked for the Lord's help. Did you notice that? He didn't tell the widow, well, you've got to have so much faith. Well, you've got to do this much prayer. You've got to do that. No, neither did the boy. Nobody asked for the Lord's help. The Lord did it just because he loved and cared for this family. No sermon was preached, but the sermon that of Jesus' actions. He touched the people there. Oh, I like the song that Bill and Gloria Gaither wrote, He Touched Me. Oh, He Touched Me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Has He touched you? Certainly He has, and He's touched me, and He touched the widow that day. Notice His words again. He says, young man, I say to you, arise. The living stood motionless, but the dead came back to life. He told the young man to get up. The young man's body was dead, but Jesus spoke to his soul and he came back alive. Jesus was speaking to the spirit world to call the boy's soul back. He did it with Jairus' daughter. He said, little girl, I say, arise. He did it with Lazarus. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And he can do it with you and I as well. As one commentator said, he said, Jesus claimed as his own what death had seized as his prey. Why like that? Jesus, when he claims somebody, he's got you in his hand. He says in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Not only can God hold you in His hand, but I can tell you this, that He's got the power to snatch you out of your worst trouble. He's got the power to snatch you out of whatever the devil's got you in. God can do the snatching because He's the Lord. He's got the power, and He's got all the power. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He said, He's got the resurrection power. He told Martha, I'm the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. This greater power that he gives us, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, 1 John 4:4. That lives within us when we accept Jesus, and it goes with us. And after we pass on from this world, it doesn't leave us. The Spirit of God doesn't leave us. It goes with us and brings us back to the throne and carries us. That's where Paul was reminding us that we have a treasure in these earthen vessels, that the excellence and the power may be of God and not of us. It's not us that gets us to heaven. It's the Lord's power and His Spirit that takes us to Him. And so we can be reminded that the Spirit of God goes with us even when we pass on from this world. He reminds the Sadducees in Mark chapter 12, they didn't believe in death they didn't believe that the dead could rise. And so Jesus told him, he says, you err. He says, don't you remember how God spoke at the burning bush that he was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? He's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. The kingdom of God is the God of the living. Spirits of God, souls. And you know what? He resurrected this boy, but not only did he resurrect this boy and he brought him back to life, the boy began to speak. He presented the boy to his mother. Boy, I would have liked to have seen that. I don't know how he did it. I just imagine in my mind that Jesus probably took the young boy by the hand and got him off the stretcher, I don't know, and brought him back to the mother. But what a scene. What a precious moment for that mom. And you know, the Bible tells us that they were all excited. They glorified God. A great prophet has risen among us, and God had visited his people. See, not only did I see in this story a resurrection, but I see in this story a reunion. The Lord brought the boy back to his mom. Jesus is in the business of bringing people back together. There's going to be a great reunion day. There's going to be a day where we'll see our loved ones and those who have passed on before. And the Bible reminds us of this and of those things. Paul reminds us in Thessalonians, for the Lord himself, not somebody else, not some angel, not some cherubim, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. And he's not coming to be silent. He wants everybody to know that he's coming. With a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up. That word, caught up, we get the word rapture from. We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. God will join us with our loved ones. Boy, that reminds me of that song, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land, what a day that will be. This story reminds me of the day that's coming. The day that's coming that Jesus is going to reunite us one more time again. It's a gift, but as we close, we're reminded one more thing that the Lord does. It says that the people were saying God had visited his people. You know, I believe the Lord still makes house calls, doesn't he? You can find him at the foot of your bed when you pray or in your chair or in your office or wherever you're at. Jesus is close as the mention of his name. He's still in the business of visiting those in need. And that's all of us. I believe God's heart breaks over what he sees and hears. But I know he is making intercession for the saints even now. Even though God hears and sees and speaks and teaches and touches, he wants us to do the same. He wants us to hear the cries of people, to see and to speak and to touch those around who need a touch of God. I'm challenged by this story to pray and ask God to lead me to those that I can help. All of us need a touch from God. All of us need a revival and a resurrection of the Spirit. If we only knew what Jesus had in store for us, if we only knew, that's just a thought that I need to be reminded of. What Jesus maybe just has around the next corner. Sometimes in unexpected places, the Lord shows up to help us. Maybe just outside the city gates. What crowd are we following tonight? I'm following the Lord. I don't deserve to follow the Lord. And I'm not good enough to be in that crowd. But the Lord called me to follow him. And he lets me follow him. And he lets us all. Even when as sinners as we are, he forgives us. And that's just something precious. How precious the Lord is, letting us just follow him. Jesus is not only the Lord of life, he is the Lord of death, who himself triumphed over the grave and who has promised that because he lives, we shall also live with Him. Bill and Gloria Gaither also wrote another song, "Because He Lives." I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future, life is worth the living just because He lives. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for this story. We thank You that You love us in spite of ourselves. We thank You, Lord, that You allow us to follow You, to be in the crowd. Thank You, God. Keep us in that crowd. Keep us between the ditches. Keep us close to You. We thank You for all that are here tonight. We ask that You give them a blessing and that You guide us and lead us the rest of this week. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.